If you would, this evening, I'd just like to take a few moments and concentrate really on one verse from Philippians chapter 1. And I'd like to begin with kind of a word association. What do these following words have in common? Sharing, communion, fellowship, association, partnership, generosity, gift, contribution, participation. That seems like a wide scope, doesn't it? There's an awful lot that's involved in all of those words. And yet they all have one connection. These are all English words used to translate one Greek word in the New Testament, and that word is koinonia. Maybe you've heard of that before. Even if you're not a Greek student or a Bible scholar, that's one of those words you hear from time to time, and we generally associate koinonia with fellowship. Now, fellowship is one of those great Christian words we use a lot and don't have an idea what we're talking about, right? Fellowship is a common word, and yet I'm not sure how commonly it's understood. Now, in preparing for tonight, I was drawn to the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, particularly the fifth verse. But to give you the context, I want to begin in verse 3. Paul is writing to the Christians there, and he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." Now, that word partnership really intrigued me. For one, it's the only place you'll find that English word in the New Testament. And I looked it up in the original language and was frankly shocked when I found that it is the word koinonia. He was thankful for their koinonia, their partnership in the gospel. Now, I had always thought of koinonia as fellowship, and fellowship always means what? Food, right? Gonna have fellowship, you gotta have food. We always joked in my home church that our motto was, if two or three are gathered together, someone brings dessert. I mean, that was just our idea of fellowship, and I think that's the way it is in a lot of churches. But that's not the way the first century understood the word koinonia, or fellowship. One scholar says that this word fellowship is one of the richest words you find anywhere in the New Testament. And you see the essence of koinonia, or partnership, in two ways. Our participation with Christ, and then our participation with other Christians, or our partnership with them. One emphasizes what we receive, the other emphasizes what we give. Now, the first way to understand koinonia is our participation with Christ. In general, this term denotes a joint participation in something by two or more parties, an active sharing in which the parties give and receive from each other. So more precisely, this is our participation in Christ. Now, this is something that Christ has done for us, and we receive it. We participate in it. You really see this in the two sacraments of the Christian church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Paul writes in Romans 6, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We therefore were buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead to new life, we will too have a new life." So the whole idea of baptism, the symbolism behind baptism, we die with Christ, we're buried with Christ, we come to new life in Christ. We participate in his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And you notice in Philippians 3:10, Paul speaks of the fellowship, again, koinonia, of his sufferings. We participate in the sufferings of Christ. We are identified with him. Same is true with the Lord's Supper. You ever wondered why it is called communion? Why do we call it that? Well, it comes from the King James Version of 1 Corinthians 10:16. He says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Well, guess what Greek word that is? Koinonia. Same word. It is our participation in the body and the blood of Christ. Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And that's what the Lord's Supper, communion, represents. It is our koinonia, our fellowship, our participation in what Christ went through us. In fact, the NIV renders it that way. "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, the participation in the body of Christ." It's not just a ritual we do every Sunday. There's profound meaning, and it's something that we join together and we participate with Christ in his sufferings. As he identified with us and took on our sin, so we participate in his life. And that's the hope that we have. And that leads us to our second meaning of koinonia, and that's our partnership with Christians. Through our participation in Christ's death and resurrection, we become partners with fellow believers. Now, what do you think of when you hear of partner or partnership? Usually we think of a cooperation, working together, being part of a team. It gives the idea of a sense of involvement, as well as the implementation of those decisions that are made. In a law, business firm or a law firm, being a partner means sharing the privileges, the responsibilities, and the rewards of the whole group. And I think the same is true here. Paul uses the term koinonia when he addresses the Philippians. Your partnership in the gospel until now. You are working with me, you are involved in it, but you are also going to reap the benefits from it as well. He says that whenever I pray for all of you, I always pray for joy. Why? Because you're in it with me. This is a partnership. We are working together. These Philippian Christians were not merely spectators. And I really believe that's one of the issues that modern-day Christianity, especially in America, faces. We have turned worship, we have turned the church into a spectator sport, where you have people perform up front, and the people in the audience, they may not clap, they may not applaud, but if they like it well enough, they may give in the offering, and they might come back next Sunday. And it has really deteriorated into a whole lot of people watching a few people do worship. That's not what the Bible intended at all. We all worship. We all become a part. We're all involved together. And this partnership in the gospel took on three very tangible, practical elements. And I really believe, whether it's with Amy and the mission work that she does, whether it's other churches or other ministries in our area, these are ways we can be partners. We can participate in their ministry and be a part of it. First is by praying. Now, staying in Philippians 1, verses 18 and 19, Paul says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." These Philippian Christians were actively praying for the Apostle Paul. They were separated by several hundred miles, but through prayer, they were having an impact on his life. Paul is very clear that his life hung in the balance But he was confident because of their prayers that God was going to see him through. And in all likelihood, he was released from the hearing that he was waiting for. Throughout Paul's letters, you see this emphasis on prayer. Pray for us. Pray for me. And I always chuckle when I hear somebody say, well, I guess there's nothing else to do but pray. Like it's the last thing. We've tried everything else. I guess we'll pray now. It's kind of like us guys, right? We do everything we can to put something together, and then we read the instructions. And what we need to do is to make prayer our first response, not a last resort. Oftentimes we do everything else and then we bring it to God and say, okay, God, do something with this mess. And if we'd have gone to him at the beginning, we'd have seen it work out much better for us. The greatest thing you can do for your pastor, the greatest thing you can do for a missionary, the greatest thing you can do for your church, for your family, for anybody, is to pray for them. Howard Hendricks put it so well, it is far more important to talk to God about men than it is to talk to men about God. Now, we need to talk to men about God, and that's what missionaries do, and that's what we ought to be doing. But we need to preface that with talking to God about them. Pray that God will open their hearts, will open their minds to the truth of the gospel. And when we do that, we partner with these workers. We are right there beside them. We just don't have to deal with the mosquitoes and snakes, right? But we are there, and it makes a difference. The second form of partnership in the gospel is by giving. Paul talks about this a little later in Philippians in chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of the acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I'm amply supplied, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That last verse might kind of sound familiar. I know it's a favorite verse of missionaries and pastors of small churches and students of Bible college. We always say, well, God's going to supply all my needs. But you get the context here? It wasn't because they were praying and praying and praying and God, gimme, 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 gimme. They were giving. They were out there giving to those who are in ministry, those who are reaching others for Christ, and in response to their giving, Paul says, God will make sure that all of your needs are met. And I do believe that is a promise. I know money is a touchy subject. I know Amy's not comfortable talking about giving, and I'm not one that beats the pulpit and says, you got to give more. I've never been that way. But giving is a vital necessity in the survival of any ministry. And we can all partner with them by giving. Interestingly, this Greek word koinonia is a word Paul used in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 when he was talking about the collection that he was organizing among the Gentile churches. And the word that he used there is a form of koinonia. It's translated generous. Generosity is a part of this partnership, this fellowship that we have. And it transcends the coffee and donuts mentality we usually associate with fellowship. This is something we are becoming a part of the ministry. And then the third form of partnership is by going. Once again in Philippians, this time chapter 2, beginning in verse 25, I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Epaphroditus was a member of the Philippian church. It seems that he was the one they delegated to take their gift to Paul. They had put together some kind of, care package or something, some support that he needed, and Epaphroditus was the one who went. He didn't merely pray, he didn't just give, he went himself, and at great risk to himself. We're told in this passage that he almost died from a sickness that he contracted there. But can you imagine being Epaphroditus? He got to spend time with the Apostle Paul. That's priceless. That must have been so thrilling for him to be a part of that. And I know from people who have gone on these short-term missions trips, and sometimes it's overseas, sometimes it's even within our own borders, but places that are very needy. And yes, you go to be a blessing to others, but every person I've ever talked to that has done this has said, it blessed me more. They received more from it than they even gave. Even though their presence, there was a great blessing and they helped many people, they themselves also found themselves blessed. So praying, giving, and going, three practical ways we can partner with other Christians in their ministries. We've read about it in the letter of Paul to the Philippians. And those of you who are here this morning, we sung about it in our worship service. One of the great hymns, missionary hymns that we have is, O Zion, haste. And in that last verse, it says, give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. That talks about going. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. There's the giving. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. There's the praying. And how does it conclude? All that thou spendest, Jesus will repay. There is a partnership. We can join with them. We have an opportunity to partner with Amy Cottle this morning as she reaches out to the people of Thailand for the Lord. We can pray. We can give, we can go, and in all these ways, we share in the work, and one day we're going to share in the rewards as well. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Father, again, we are so thankful for those who have heard your call, those who are willing to leave behind the comforts of home, the familiarity of a language and a culture, and even the relationships of family and friends, to go to a new and unfamiliar place where there's a lot of adjustments. Sometimes it can be scary. We know of missionaries who are working in very high-risk regions where their lives are at stake as they seek to share the gospel with those who don't know you, some of whom have never heard of you. They have no chance. How can they believe in someone they've never heard of? And how are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? And how is somebody going to tell them unless they are sent? And that's where we come in. Father, I pray that you would show us not only this day, but in the days, the weeks, the months to come, how we can partner with those in ministry, at home and around the world, as we get involved ourselves, as we give and support, as we pray. May we all join together so that your work will be accomplished. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.